It's Friday, the 8th of January, 2016. Happy birthday to Glenn Robinson III. Welcome to the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by Moneyball.com.au and BCAM1. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to be like BCAM1 and be a sponsor of the podcast for one episode, it's very easy. Just leave a review on iTunes, and thank you to everyone who has done that and a couple of people who did that overnight. It is always much appreciated, so thank you to everyone who's done that. It goes a long way in helping the podcast build its base of popularity and get out there to more listeners, which is something that obviously, I enjoy doing, and hopefully the people who listen to it enjoy it as well. Don't forget there's moneyball.com.au as well, Australia's best daily fantasy sports site. Make sure you're on Moneyball and checking out all the contests, the tournaments, the double-ups, the head-to-heads, all that sort of stuff that's on Moneyball, and hopefully you can win yourself some money. All right, let's... why waste time?
Let's get to it.
Michael Bolton, thank you. The monstrous line of the night... I might rename it the DeMarcus Cousins monstrous line of the night at the moment, because Boogie has got it again. 32 minutes for Boogie, 29 and 10, two threes. This guy's shooting threes like they're going crazy. Another 7 assists, a steal. He went 8 of 12 from the field. He went 11 of 13 from the free throw line and only 3 turnovers. That is a massive Boogie Cousins game. He is the second ranked player over the last week, averaging 32 and 14 with 2 threes, 3 assists, 2 steals, and a block on 54 and 80%. This is the Boogie that I drafted number 4 in one of my drafts. This is the Boogie that caused him to go in the first round in the top 8 of nearly every draft. A little bit of a slow start to the season. Let's hope that ankle injury that he suffered at the end isn't too severe and doesn't cost him any time, because he has just been in a superb run of form and really, really just looking amazing, basically. The waiver wire line of the night goes to none other than Brandon Bass. 36 minutes for Bass off the bench. He went 10, 6, and 4. But where his value really came from was his 5 steals, his 2 blocks, his 3 of 3 from the field, and his 4 of 4 from the free throw line. There's some massive, massive numbers there from Brandon Bass. Can't really explain why he's getting 36 minutes, to be honest, when Larry Nance and Julius Randle are on the same team. But he did. I suppose it's because Roy Hibbert had 5 fouls in 12 minutes, and that's fair enough. But still, Larry Nance should have got more than 18 minutes. But Brandon Bass has been putting up some relatively consistent numbers of, like, getting more run, and that's fine because he's a good player. He's ranked over the last 2 weeks inside the top 80, and it's not for big output, 7.6 points. That's not that exciting. 3.8 rebounds, but it's 1.4 steals, 1.1 blocks, 67% from the field, and 81% from the free throw line. He's nothing more than a short-term ad stream sort of guy. Like a day like today would have been perfect to add Brandon Bass, and you would have got some great defensive numbers, but it would have been a nice boost to your percentages if you did add him on a day where there are only 4 games on. But in terms of long-term value, with Nance and Randle ahead of him, you would think it'd be hard for him to get minutes. But when your coach is a massive dickhead, it's really hard to breathe any sort of common sense into what the Lakers do. So Bass, at the moment, look, he was getting DMP CDs earlier in the season, which made no sense in itself. But for now, he's locked into a 20-24-minute-a-game role and producing nicely, and 14-team leagues will definitely want to look at him. And 12-team leagues, as I said, it's more of a streaming option for Brandon Bass at the moment. The waiver wire line of the night, same game, lots of fantasy. And look, before I get into the waiver wire line of the night, what a crazy game. How did the Lakers go on a 46-17 run and get back in this when they were 27 points down, then hit the lead? The Kings should be ashamed of themselves. To a team that's trying to lose, to let them get back into it, that was embarrassing. The Kings did get the victory in the end, but still, so much oddness. D'Angelo Russell is the waiver wire line of the night. He's the young gun of the night. 29 minutes for D'Angelo Russell. 27 points, 3 triples, 2 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals. He went 11 of 16 from the field. That's good, because in January he'd been shooting 22% before this game. Amazing what happens when you actually give him minutes and give him an opportunity to thrive. Kobe sat the end of the game on the bench because D'Angelo Russell and Jordan Clarkson were leading this team back. And as I retweeted today from Tim Bontemps, how good Russell looked when he was given the ball and allowed to develop confidence. And it's pretty amazing that, you know, who would have thought that giving a young player an opportunity to play and giving him confidence to be good would actually work wonders, instead of just bagging him and denigrating him and pulling him out at every opportunity you can. Who would have thought that that would have worked out? Not me, that's for sure. So D'Angelo Russell, look, his upside was always there. You had to own him, and this is a really nice reward for that game. And look, there'll be some bad games because, again, Byron Scott's coaching, so dumb shit will happen. But for now, you obviously have to hold him and hope that he develops into a top 80, top 90 player down the stretch. He's currently ranked 108th at the moment, but you'd imagine there'll be a 20 spot jump in that as we head into the second half of the season. The dud of the night. Wasn't too many duds. Well, there were some duds, but not really highly owned duds. But I give it to Isaiah Thomas of the Boston Celtics. He had 14 points, which is okay, but didn't do much else. Two rebounds and one assist is not good. No threes. The two steals are nice, but he went 5 of 17 from the field, which is really bad. And he's having a real struggle at the moment with his shooting. His last month, he's shooting 38% from the field. He's still averaging 20 points, but it's taking him a lot of shots to do it. So his ranking has dropped significantly. His last 2 weeks ranking, he's down outside the top 100, and that's because of this shooting percentage, which is just huge on big volume as well. He's also shooting just 17% from three in those last 2 weeks. So if people really pay attention to ranks and player raiders, you'll see Isaiah Thomas' number drop right down. Great time to target him. Go after him and try and get him in a buy low, because he's probably a top 20, top 30 player for the season. And I imagine we'll continue in that similar vein once his shot comes back. He's not going to be a 45% shooter, but he's probably going to be a 41, 42% guy for the rest of the season. So these sort of streaks do right themselves, and I imagine that's what will happen with Isaiah Thomas moving forward. All right, let's get into the box scores from this game. I'll bring that up for you. For some reason, I didn't have it up ready to go. All right, there we go. Sorry about that delay, guys. The box scores are up on the screen for you guys watching the video now. The first game was the Atlanta Hawks and the Philadelphia 76ers. I said yesterday there's a big chance of this being a blowout. There was also a chance that it kept close because the Hawks, you know, had been playing poorly. But the overriding motivation from them after losing two straight for the Knicks was to go out and smash the Sixers. And they smashed them by almost 30 points. And that resulted in reduced minutes for all of their players. Jeff Teague only got 22 minutes here. 7 points and four assists. That was always a concern going in. But the other guys, like Al Horford, in 24 minutes was great. 18 and 9, three steals and three blocks with a three. Big night. Paul Millsap, 18, 6 and 4 with two steals. That's plenty. And those guys, Millsap, Bazemore, Horford. Millsap shot 64%, Bazemore shot 53%, Al Horford shot 58%. Everything was going in, and Bazemore was great again. 22, 6 and 4, 3 threes, 2 steals, 1 block in just 25 minutes. Dennis Schroeder was also productive in his 19 minutes, 14, 4 and 6, 2 threes, 2 steals. We know how much we're going to love him if he happens to get a starting role or a bigger role, but for now, we can leave him alone. Thabo Sefolosha, good game for him, 22 minutes, 6, 5 and 4, 3 steals and a block. Again, some of that is due to the fact that he was playing the Sixers and, you know, stats were able to be racked up. But Kyle Korver still couldn't get it going. 21 minutes for Korver, 5 points, a 3, 4 rebounds, 2 assists and a steal. His shooting percentage is way down at the moment. He was a 40% 3-point guy last year. He's nowhere near that this season. He's not a must-hold guy for me this season, unfortunately. The other unfortunate thing about this game, no Eddie Tavares. With Thiago Splitter back, for some reason, that meant they had to reactivate Mike Muscala as well. So Splitter and Muscala played. Tavares didn't. Obviously, dynasties, deep dynasties, you want to hold on because of his block potential, but he's not going to do much this year. So if you added him in like a 16 or 18 team league for those blocks he was giving, if he's back out of the rotation, then there's no point in holding on to him. I just remembered that I forgot to put up the perfect lineup for the day. Let's do that now. Then we'll go back to those box scores. Thursday's perfect lineup at point guard. Rajon Rondo, 41.2. He was back from his back issue and took on the Lakers. And we know what happens when people take on the Lakers. D'Angelo Russell at point guard put up 36.4. He was great as well. And the Kings are a pretty fantasy-friendly team to go up against. he was more of a punt option because he really hadn't been playing well, and he was coming back after that illness kept him out the last game. At shooting guard, James Harden, 49.1. That's a pretty good investment for under 10,000 you could got for Harden. And Kent Bazemore went 38.2. Small forwards, Jay Crowder, he's just consistently giving you nice numbers, 35.8 for him, while Thabo Sefolosha put up 26. That was a real stab in the dark if you were going to get Thabo Sefolosha into your lineup because he'd been doing basically nothing. At power forwards, Pau Gasol, 43.6. That was relatively predictable. I mentioned him a bit on yesterday's show. He's been putting up just consistent numbers. You have to spend up for him, but it was always a decent show of him putting up good numbers against the Celtics. And Brandon Bass was the other one at 37.2. He was the other power forward. He'd been putting up okay numbers, but nothing along these lines. And at center, Al Horford really took care of the Sixers, going 45.3. And if you had that lineup, you would have scored 352.8. Sorry for doing things out of order, guys. Let's go back to the box scores now and go through the Sixers. The Jahlil Okafor, 27 minutes for him, a better game than what we've seen since coming back from his knee injury. 21-7, a steal and a block, and some pretty good percentages as well. So that's a bit of relief if you own him. And Nerlens Noel only played 24 in this one, 9-13, but two steals and a block. So his production has really ramped up, and Ish Smith positive on Nerlens Noel is bigger than the negative of him playing with Jahlil Okafor, or so it seems. Ish Smith was good again, 12.7 assists and a steal. And Nick Stauskas into the starting lineup, just, look, 24 minutes is good, but the production's nothing. 9 points, 2 threes, 2 assists. He's not worth owning unless we're talking 16-team leagues at this point. As for the rest of the Sixers, just a whole bunch of crap. Jakar Sampson got another start, I don't know why. 24 minutes for him, 4-6. TJ McConnell only played 9 minutes. Kendall Marshall got 11 minutes as the backup point guards. There's nothing for any of these guys for standard leagues. Jeremy Grant is not a 12-team league guy anymore. He played just 21 minutes and went 11-2-1. He had a steal and a block as well, but still, his value is not there for standard leagues. But what about Robert Covington? Bob Cov is just in a massive, massive slump. 13 minutes for Covington, 8 points, 2 threes, and 3 rebounds on 3 of 9 shooting. He just can't get any minutes. He's ranked outside the top 250 for the last couple of weeks. Yes, his potential is through the roof, and we saw how good he was to start the season. But if you're in a 10-team league or you're in a 12-team league and down the bottom of the standings, it's very hard to hold on to this dead weight. I'm not saying that he's a drop for everyone. I've dropped him in one league where I needed to make some moves and open up a streaming spot. But I've held him in another 12-team league just so I can have him and hopefully things turn around. But he hasn't got very long left to me. He's real close to being just dropped across the board, assuming there's someone to pick up. So Covington is just really, really struggling at the moment. Can't get anything happening. But we've saw guys who are struggling, like Nikola Mirotic earlier on a couple of weeks ago, able to turn it around. So I've still got a bit of hope for Covington. So don't just be dropping him blindly, and don't ever just drop someone for the sake of dropping them. Drop them because you want to add someone, or there's someone that you want to make a move to acquire. Don't just drop them because I've had it with this guy, he's done. Doesn't benefit anyone. Covington doesn't give a shit that you dropped him. It's not like you're sending a message to him. Hold on if there's someone that if there's no one that you want to grab, because we know that he's upside. He's got top 40 upside probably. We saw that earlier this season. Unfortunately at the moment, it's just clearly not coming together. The next game is the Boston Celtics and the Chicago Bulls. For the Celtics, Evan Turner, 10-5-6 with 4 steals. And I think that's what we can expect from him. Very similar, maybe not the 4 steals, but very similar lines to that as long as Avery Bradley remains out. The big thing for me with the Celtics is looking at the front court though. Kelly Olynyk, another 33 minutes, 16-9, 2 threes and 2 assists. You know what I'm going to say about Kelly Olynyk, and I've said it for, I don't know how long, a while. He has to be owned. This is really encouraging for him to get consistent minutes in 3 straight games. David Lee is out of the rotation. Jonas Jerebko and Tyler Zeller, single-digit minutes. Olynyk is their best player there, and he's playing the minutes at the moment, and let's hope it sticks. Amir Johnson, only got 22 in this one, but 12-6 on a block is still productive, and I still think that he's a very sort of unsexy 12-team league guy, but producing solid value. And Jared Sellinger had his best game since going back to the bench. 13-11, he had a block. Yeah, maybe in a 12-team league, you can hold him or you can add him. It really depends on what sort of team you're looking like, but the two games prior to this, he was a little bit disappointing. Jay Crowder's consistent season continues. 17-4-4, 3 steals, 1 block. He had a triple as well. The percentages weren't ideal. 4 of 7 from the line and 6 of 17 from the field for Crowder, but he's been a revelation this year. And Marcus Smart, 10-5-2 with 2 threes and 2 steals. And I mentioned him yesterday and how bad he kills your percentages. But what you want him for is aggressive rebounding from a point guard. 2 triples, 2 steals. That's exactly where his fantasy value lies. And he's not for everybody, but he can have that value. So good to see him have a bit of a bounce back here. For the Bulls, Jimmy Butler, another big assist game. His second straight 10-digit assist game. 19-5-10 and a triple one. And Pau Gasol keeps it going. 17-18 with 4 assists and a block. We actually had a good Derrick Rose game as well. 18-7-3 on 9 of 16 shooting. He's playing a lot better than what he was before. The 2 games since coming back from his hamstring issue, he's looked better. 17 points, 4 rebounds, 4.5 assists in that time. The lack of steals, the lack of threes, the lack of blocks from him hurts his overall value. But the scoring, the percentage was back there. The assists, they're getting back there. So there is some hope for Derrick Rose. But I don't think he's necessarily a must-own guy. Speaking of Mirotić before, 27 minutes for him again here, 11-8, 2 threes, a steal and a block. And probably the most encouraging thing is he missed his first 3 shots. He only went 3 of 10, but he still played 27 minutes. So some more faith being shown by Fred Hoiberg. And yeah, that's what we need as owners. Obviously, he needs to be owned everywhere. And Bobby Portis, only the 24 minutes for him, 4 points, 8 rebounds and 2 blocks is still impressive, but my thoughts on him still remain the same. If you can't maintain 26, 27 minutes a game with Noah out, what's he going to do when Noah comes back? It's very hard to own him unless you've just got a stash spot, you're in a roto league, you're in a weekly lineup lock league. Maybe then, but daily changes head to head. I just don't think that his production is going to be big enough for you to hold on for the next month or so, hoping for a trade. Taj Gibson, 10-5 with 3 assists and a steal. A nice solid night from him. The next game, the Utah Jazz and the Houston Rockets. Harl Neto played 24 minutes. He had 7 assists, 2 steals, and a 3. Nothing to get too excited about there, but let's get excited because Rudy Gobert is back. He played off the bench coming back from his MCL sprain. Just 15 minutes, but it's good to see him back out there. 6 points and 3 rebounds. Obviously, that means the end of the Jeff Withey era. 17 minutes for Withey here. 8-4 with a couple of blocks. So went out with still some value, but that's probably going to drop off pretty quickly with Derek Favors due back relatively soon. Fingers crossed. The problem is Gobert came back and then Rodney Hood got injured. Rod Hood lasted just 22 minutes before spraining his ankle and was looking good as well. Already had a triple one, had 10 points, 2 rebounds and 2 assists. He was putting up fantastic value before this injury. Obviously, he still needs to be held unless we hear that this is something really severe and he's out 4 to 6 weeks or something like that. Fingers crossed, it's not that. Trevor Booker, 12-9. If you own him in any sort of 12-team league, his value is pretty much done now that Gobert and Favors are due back. Trey Burke, 10 points, 3 assists. Very hard to own him in a 10-team league, definitely. And in a 12-team league, it's tough too. And Trey Lyles had a pretty nice game here. He played 34 minutes. I'd say this is probably his best game. 9-9, 2 steals and 2 blocks, but his minutes are set to take a hit as well with the return of their 2 star big men. Gordon Hayward played 38 minutes. He went 15 points, had 5 assists, a 3, and a steal. Not his greatest night, but we know what he is now. And after that sort of slump to start the season, he's putting up some pretty nice numbers these days. James Harden played 34 minutes against the Jazz, 33-8, 2 steals and a block, and you're pretty happy with that if you own Harden. Dwight Howard was out of this one, so was Donatas Martinez, and Ty Lawson is suspended for the next 3 games, so they had a bit of a change to their rotation. Terrence Jones got back into the starting lineup, and he played 32 minutes. 14-8 with 2 assists, and if you've held on to Terrence Jones, you love that. And this is something I've said about Jones a lot. He's got great fantasy potential. When he plays minutes, he's going to put up fantasy stats. I just don't think he's a good enough player to get these minutes on a consistent basis. It required Howard and Martinez to both be out for him to get back and play 30 minutes. I don't think that Martinez is probably going to be a long-term thing. I don't think Howard's is. Howard will be back most likely, and that'll push Jones to a reserve role. And especially with Montrezl Harrell playing okay, I don't think it's going to be Jones getting close to 30 minutes anytime soon. So I actually still have him in a roto league because I can stash him on the bench. Maybe something turns around for him. But in a head-to-head 10 or 12-team league, I reckon you can do better than Terrence Jones. Clint Capela had 7 points, but the 10 rebounds and 3 steals were pretty nice from him. He's a guy that can have a spot in a 12-team league, but not necessarily on your team. It just depends on how your team's structured. And Trevor Ariza, terrible with his shooting, 2 of 10, but 6 points, 2 threes, a steal and a block, still doing a little bit of stuff for your team. The last game of the night is a game we've talked about already a bit, and that is the Lakers and the Kings. Kobe, before sitting a big stretch of the game down the end of the game, 31 minutes for him, 28, 2 and 3, 2 threes and a block. I mentioned D'Angelo Russell earlier. I forgot to mention that he did twist his ankle and was unable to finish the game. Let's hope that's not a severe issue. Lou Williams, 20 points, 3 threes and a block. Don't count on the blocks from him, but the points and threes, he's a 12-team league guy. And Jordan Clarkson, 15, 5 and 4. He's just really that sort of back end of your 12-team league roster guy, putting up solid numbers, but breaking out infrequently. Julius Randle had just 6 points at 10 boards. Played 30 minutes, so that's encouraging, but again, it was because Hibbert did not play very much at all. And Larry Nance was reduced to 18 minutes, went 9-4. Who knows, with Byron Scott, who knows if this means that Nance is going to play in the teens, if it was just a one-off thing. We don't really know what any of this means at this point. Nance and Randle are borderline 12-team league guys, as it is. On the Kings, Rajon Rondo, in his return from his injury, 9, 6, and 12, added 4 steals and a block. A big night there, but probably the biggest surprise of the night was Quincy Acey going for 18-4 with a steal and 2 blocks on 9 of 8 shooting. Don't think Quincy Acey's probably ever done that in his career before, so let's not overreact to that. If Cousins happens to miss a game, I like Kostas Koufos. 20 minutes he played here, 14-2 with a block, and he'd be someone who would have short-term value if Cousins has to miss a game. Rudy Gay, 18-4-6, he's just really solid and very consistent. And Marco Bellinelli cooled off a bit, went 11-2-3 with a couple of steals. Still played 27 minutes, but not as productive as he'd been previously. Darren Collison was oddly limited in this game, just 18 minutes. 3 points with a 3, 2 rebounds and 2 assists. Didn't see any mention of an injury. I was watching the game, but didn't see anything happen to him. So that was a bit of an odd one for Collison, but still hold tight if you do happen to own him. All right, that covers the games from Thursday. I'm going to take a quick break, and then we're going to be back to preview the 10 games from Friday. As you can probably tell by looking at the screen, here to talk about the games for Friday. There are 10 of them, so there's a fair bit of information to get to. Let's get stuck right into it right now. The first game is the Toronto Raptors and the Washington Wizards. The Raptors have basically beaten the Wizards. I think it's the last 5 times they've met in the regular season after getting swept by them 4 times in the playoffs. The Raptors are favored by 1.5 here. The total is 202. There's obviously no Damari Carroll. The other injury concerns are all really with the Washington side of things. That's with the big men. Chris Humphries is unlikely to play, but we will have Dewan Blair back and Drew Gooden back. I'm sure that has such a huge impact in your DFS lineups. The small forward position in Toronto is probably the most interesting one to look at here. James Johnson is at minimum salary. He put up 16 in the last game as a start. We know that he can get those blocks and steals in bushels, and that could mean 25, 26 fantasy points. He's not a bad tournament play. And Terrence Ross is similar. He can hit threes in bushels. He's at 3,700. The Raptors are not good at defending shooting guards or small forwards. Not the Raptors, the Wizards are not good at defending them. We've seen a lot of big games from people playing the Wizards. So Ross is someone who I'm interested in, only in a tournament. I'm not looking at these guys for cash game plays. Marcin Gortat at 6,900, he's a guy that I think has a good value. That is not a big salary for him. He's got a 30-point average across his last five games. I reckon he sees a bit of a bump here going up against Jonas Valanciunas, and he's worth a look. Speaking of Valanciunas, he's priced at under 6,000, 5,900 for him. He put up 38 in the last game, and this is a tasty matchup for him. So even though his numbers in terms of averages don't look great, remember, he's been ramping himself back up after coming back from that hand injury. I reckon he's a pretty decent chance to get 30-plus points in this one, so he's someone that I'll look at. John Wall at 9,800. The salary is under 10,000, which is good, but you still need him to be pushing 50, and that might be tough going up against Kyle Lowry. So I reckon you can do probably a little bit better than using John Wall here. And DeMar DeRozan at 8,000. The salary is coming down. The matchup is good for him, but he hasn't really been able to get near that value lately. At 8,000, you want 40 points. You want 37, 40 points. And he's only averaging 33 in the last five and 28.7 in the last three. Not quite enough. Not sure it's a great one for him. I said that John Wall's got to go up against Kyle Lowry. And obviously the inverse is true. Kyle Lowry has to go up against John Wall. You've got to pay 9,000 for Lowry. He's been putting up big numbers, a 45-point average across the last three. But the John Wall matchup makes me think I'll go in a different direction there. The run of Ramon Sessions games is over with Gary Neal returning, so we can leave him alone. I don't want to play Neal. Otto Porter's the other guy that is intriguing to me, but he's priced at 6,000, so it's a little expensive. He is averaging 32 across his last five. The Raptors historically have been good at limiting small forwards, but some of that is to do with Damari Carroll, so some of that impact is lessened by Carroll being out. So I don't completely dislike using Otto Porter. The Orlando Magic and the Brooklyn Nets is the next game up. Lord Alfred Payton missed the last two games with an ankle injury. I don't think that he's officially listed as questionable. I don't think he plays. That makes Victor Oladipo at 6,000 an awesome matchup. Point guards and shooting guards against the Nets have been able to feast. Oladipo put up 31.5 in the last game. He could be looking at a 35, 36 point outing here potentially against the Nets. I reckon he's got a tremendous opportunity. Aaron Gordon at 3,700, it's always intriguing because we know he can rack up stats, but it just hasn't been happening for him lately, so I think I'll leave him alone. Toby Harris at 5,700 hasn't been getting anything done, and Nick Vucevic at 7,400, the last time he played the Nets, he struggled a little bit. Not sure I want to use him, averaging only 19 points across his last three, and some of that's due to benching, but that could always happen at any time with Scott Skiles as the coach. On the Nets side of things, Brook Lopez at 8,700, he was great against the Magic last time out. He's averaging almost 45 across his last five games. He's had almost a 60-point game sprinkled in there as well. This is a great spot for Brook Lopez, I think. And Thad Young is in a pretty solid spot as well. He is priced over 7,000 now, so his salary has risen, but it's not a difficult matchup against the Orlando front court. He's got a 34-point average across his last three. I'm pretty confident that he can get close to that number here. Shane Larkin, 4,400. He put up 26 in the last game, and that was without scoring in double digits not fantasy points, regular points. So he does have 30-point upside. I like him at 4,400. There are a couple of really nice cheap point guard options on the board. We're going to get to one of them a bit later on. But I think Shane Larkin, in the matchup against the Magic, who have been good for opposition point guards in terms of fantasy points, he's a guy to take a look at. Also, Bojan Bogdanović at 44. Had a bit of a slow game in the last one, but is getting extra touches with Jarrett Jack out, so I'm okay with looking at him. Even if Lord Alfred plays, I don't want to use him, and I'd still want to use Oladipo, so don't be too scared off if Payton plays, because I think that he would play off the bench, and he would play a limited role coming back from the injury and with Oladipo in the starting lineup. The Cleveland Cavaliers and the Minnesota Timberwolves is the next game. The Cavs are favored by 10. The total is 195.5, and this is really worrisome in terms of thrashing potential. We've seen what the Cavs have done a couple of times to the Magic this year, and they've limited their guys to 27, 28 minutes. So it's going to be real tough to use Kyrie Irving, who was great in the last game, is actually averaging 37 points in his last three fantasy games, and the matchup is tasty. But with a guy coming back from this kneecap injury, maybe they put him at 27 minutes. There's a chance they really limit him here. LeBron is averaging 45 across the last three. He's priced at under 10,000. You go, this is great. Timberwolves, LeBron. But what if he plays 27 minutes? As dumb as that sounds, he's done it a couple of times this year. There is a risk of this. Now, when I'm looking at their projections, I've knocked them all down a little bit, and they don't really appeal to me as great plays today because of this risk of them playing you 4, 5, 6 minutes less than what their normal allocation would be. And it's really tough to get them into a lineup, I think. Ricky Rubio at 7,500 against Kyrie Irving. He should be able to have a fairly easy go at it defensively. Well, not defensively, offensively, but not like that. Offense is Rubio's game, really. He's averaging 30 points across the last three, but I'd want him to be less than 7,500, so I'm not sure it's a spot I really want to use. Tristan Thompson at 4,600 is not a bad play, but I'm pretty sure we can do better than him in other matchups. And Zach LaVine is priced at just 4,100, but he's been terrible. He's averaging 9.7 in the last three games. 9.7. That's terrible. I don't think you can use him. I just don't think you can use him at all. Andrew Wiggins has been really bad as well. He is not... What's he done? 23 points across the last three. 6,300. His salary has come down. But I don't think we can. I don't think we can use him against. There's no look against the Cavs. Is there a revenge game factor? I don't think so. Karl Anthony Towns at 7,600. Maybe you can use him. But look, he put up 37.8 in the last game. 32.8 average across his last five. At 76 is quite a high salary though. There's not much in this game that really appeals to me with the Cavs defense, the blowout factor. It's not an ideal game. J.R. Smith maybe at 4,900, that's sub 5,000. He's averaging 25 across the last three. He hasn't been consistent this season, definitely, but that's two strong games in a row for him. I don't want to use Gorgui Dieng with the return of Nikola Pekovic and the fact that he's been really bad lately as well. He hasn't been really bad, he just hasn't been productive. The next game is the Denver Nuggets and the Memphis Grizzlies. There's no spread out for this one just yet. It looks like Mike Conley, who's the other one, and Courtney Lee, that's it, are both doubtful for this game. So I talked about cheap point guards before. Mario Chalmers is at 4,900. He put up 49 in the last game and played 39 minutes. If those two guys are out, he's going to have to play basically 40 minutes as a starting point guard. And we could see a huge... Look, I don't think we see 49 from him again, but 35, 36 is definitely in play for Mario Chalmers. Now, with the injuries to Conley and Lee, it means Tony Allen, Matt Barnes, Jeff Green, Marc Gasol, especially Marc Gasol, because Ryan Holland's got cut today, so there's basically no backup center on this team. So a very, very odd move to me that the Grizzlies would go and cut Ryan Holland when Gasol's got no backup. Matt Barnes at 4,900... Throwing the fact that it's an easy matchup for most of these guys going up against Denver, Barnes might have to play 36, 37 minutes here. Tony Allen might have to play 32. And before you scoff at Tony Allen, he's averaging 23 points across the last three, and he's only priced at 4,000. And that's 5X value right there. It's easily 5X value right there. So don't know, imagine many people will be on Tony Allen. It's a little bit risky, but against Denver, at 4,000 with extra minutes coming his way, I think you have to consider it. Same with Jeff Green, who is very up and down, but at 4,800, these guys are all less than 5,000. There's definitely something to be seen, or something to be benefited by at least taking a look. Same as Zach Randolph. He's going to have to play some center here. He's at 6,400. His average is 30.9 across the last three. He's had a 50-point game in his last five. It's a little more risky using him because his role has been limited, but someone's going to have to play center. Because there's just no one outside of Gasol on this team. And it's not like the Nuggets don't have a whole stack of big bodies they can throw at him as well. Speaking of the Nuggets' big bodies, Jusuf Nurkić at 4,300. He put up 39 fantasy points in the last game in just 22 minutes. He's looked really good since coming back in terms of his fantasy stat production. There's always a risk that he runs into foul trouble. But at 4,300, I love throwing Nurkić into a lineup. Danilo Gallinari's been pretty rock solid as well. 7,100 for him, averaging 38 in his last three since coming back from that ankle injury. I think that he's not a bad guy to have a look at. He's a pretty solid small forward that you're going to get nice, consistent value out of. As for the rest of the Nuggets, Will Barton's on a cold streak at the moment. Two subpar games for him, both with 25 minutes in each of those. He's down at 6,900. People love Will Barton. Don't think that'll necessarily make him under-owned, but shooting guards against the Grizzlies do suffer a significant hit. He's been getting less minutes and playing less well, even though that's not really a phrase. I'm going to fade Will Barton. Emmanuel Mudiay should be back, so that means we're not using him, and we're not using Jameer Nelson. And Kenneth Faried, who knows how many minutes that guy's going to get? 30? Probably not 30. 29? 18? Is Darrell Arthur going to play? It's just a mess in that front court. Nikola Jokic at 4,400. I would rather spend 100 less and get Yusuf Nurkic, and Joffrey Lavernier is not even playing anymore. So we can leave him alone. The Dallas Mavericks and the Milwaukee Bucks is the next game. It is a pick'em. The total is 201.5. Dallas should have all of their guys back who missed the last game. That is Darren Williams, Wes Matthews, Dirk Nowitzki, and Zaza Pachulia. So all those value guys you got, like Dwight Powell, like Ray Felton in the last game, will probably no longer apply here. Jabari Parker at 4,600 is interesting. Here, he's had his minutes go up lately. He's averaging 34 across his last three. 22.7 points, 34 minutes that is, 22.7 points in that time frame. And at 4,600, that's really close to where he needs to be value-wise. So getting things going, Dirk is not that tough of a matchup for him. He's someone to consider, as is Michael Carter-Williams. He's at 7,100, putting up big numbers almost every single night. Darren Williams, Ray Felton, JJ Barea, those guys aren't long. They're not good defenders. I think that Carter Williams can be a pretty decent guy to look at here. He's been really hot lately. Dirk at 6,900, it's not a matchup that I want to really use. And Giannis at 6,900, who will be playing some on Dirk as well, I imagine. He put up 39 in his last game, but he just hasn't been really consistent enough. He's more of a tournament play than a cash game play. 6,300 for Darren Williams? No, that feels too high for me. That means he needs to go for 30-plus points. And yes, he did it in the last game, but it took him 43 minutes. 7,400 for Greg Monroe? Not against Dallas. That's not a good matchup for me. But I do like Chris Middleton at 6,900. He put up 41 in the last game. He's got a 36.7 average in his last five. He's been playing like he's the Bucks' best player for big stretches. So he's a guy that I do like here. Wes Matthews at 5,300 and Chandler Parsons at 5,400. They are quite up and down. They're both averaging just 24 points across their last three games, but the matchup favors both of them, and I think both of them can go for 30, 35 plus in this one if everything aligns correctly. There is a chance of that. And what about our big old Mr. Consistency, Zaza Pachulia, whose last five games have yielded a high score of 36 and a minimum score of 33? He's at 6,700, so the salary is creeping up there, but matchup against the Bucks is good for centers, and if you know you're going to get 33 points out of him at 6,700, it's bang on 5x, and I think that you'd be relatively happy with that. OJ Mayo is more of a tournament guy. The minutes could be there for him, but it just hasn't really eventuated since his hot start to the season. And as I mentioned, I'm avoiding guys like Barea, like Devin Harris, like Ray Felton, like Dwight Powell, who put up big value in the last game when all of those players rested. The Indiana Pacers and the New Orleans Pelicans is up next. The Pacers are favored by 2. The total is a pretty decent one here, 206 points. Quincy Pondexter is still doubtful, hasn't made his season debut yet. That looks like it's going to be coming pretty soon. Norris Cole at 4,200, he rightfully stunk in the last game. It's not a good matchup for him. His salary is appealing given the minutes he's getting, so you could look at him in a tournament lineup, but I do not love him for cash. 5,700 for Drew. Drew Holiday, yeah, there's definitely a 30-point upside in him, but George Hill is a really good defender, so it's not an ideal spot for him. CJ Miles is struggling on the Pacers, we'll leave him alone, and George Hill's starting to get things going a little bit, averaging 27 across his last five. Not a bad sort of solid cash gameplay, especially against the Pelicans, whose backcourt is not strong defensively. Anthony Davis at 10,400. The Pacers are a tough out for big men, but I like Davis's ability to go for 47-50 points here. Tyreek at 7,600, he's been relatively consistent lately. He's a 35-point guy most nights, and that's pretty good. And Paul George is down at 8,800. I really like that salary. He's got a 41-point average across his last five. The Pelicans will not be a challenge to stop him, I wouldn't have thought. He abused them in the preseason. I think he scored 20 in the first period against them in the preseason. He is definitely someone that I look to use if I'm going that sort of stars and scrubs. You could put Davis, Evans, and George in a lineup and run a whole lot of other studs, and I think you get some pretty decent value out of it. The big men in Indiana, Lavoie Allen, Jan Mahinmi, Miles Turner, Jordan Hill, don't think any of them really have too much appeal, although Mahinmi is averaging 22 points across his last five. It's a shame that he's priced at over 5,000 because the matchup suits him, and if he was down at 4,000, definitely be a good guy to have a look at. The next game has a void written all over it. The New York Knicks and the San Antonio Spurs. There's no spread in this game. It probably is going to be about 30 points, to be honest, with the way the Spurs are playing. Tony Parker is questionable. We do not know if he will play. There is nobody that I like in this one. Unless something... Look, even if Parker sits, Patty Mills has been doing nothing. I don't like using anyone here. You know, Kawhi Leonard played only 23 minutes in the last game because they had it so far in hand. Manu Ginobili may be at 46, but his upside is very limited. I'd say use him in a tournament, but the upside's not there. Robin Lopez may be at 4,400. He's been putting up strong numbers, averaging over 30 across his last three. But do the Spurs really restrict him? There's a big chance of that. This is just a game of please let's stay away. Carmelo, he got destroyed by Kawhi Leonard earlier in the season. And Aaron O'Flaherty, don't even get me started on him. When he's got a defender on him, it could be he could go into negative points. The Miami Heat and the Phoenix Suns. The next game, the Heat are favored by 5. The total is 197.5 points. Josh McRoberts is predictably out. PJ Tucker has a thigh bruise. He is probable. And Ronnie Price is dealing with a sore toe, and he is questionable. Starter Ronnie Price is questionable with a sore foot. Now, if you can work out the value on the Suns, you're doing better than me because we don't know what sort of lineup they're going to run. TJ Warren at 4,500 looks underpriced, but we don't know what TJ Warren we're going to get. Tournament play. Devin Booker at 3,900. We don't know what Devin Booker we're going to get. We don't know what minutes of Devin Booker we're going to get, but he is averaging 27 points in the last three, and at 3,900, he makes a play that I could even get behind using in cash games because the minutes, he'll probably get 25 minutes, 30 minutes, and can produce at 3,900. The other guy in the Suns that I think is worth looking at was a couple of guys. Brandon Knight is still under 7,000. He's at 6,800. He's averaging 37 points in the last three at almost 40 minutes. The matchup's not ideal for him, but at that salary, I do like it. And Mirza Teletovic at 4,200 has been pretty consistent over the last few games, averaging almost 28 in his last three, dropped 35 in the Suns' win in their last one. Not a good matchup for DVP sort of purposes, but he's been putting up really consistent numbers, still more of a tournament play. Goran Dragic has been bad. He's at 5,600, but the Suns are terrible. Their backcourt is terrible, and he's in revenge game situation here. Now, it was not a happy split when he was traded last season. He is back in Phoenix. I imagine he is going to be in FU mode for most of this game, and this could be a real good opportunity to use Goran Dragic. Well, if he gets 30 points, he smashed his 5x value. I think there's a huge chance that he has a big game here. I think there's a huge chance that he talks to the Heat guys or that Spoelstra goes to him, goes to the team. Let's let Goran have this one. Let's let him take control. And I think there's a big chance that happens in this one. Hassan Whiteside was a bit disappointing in the last game. He is averaging 33 across the last five, and at 7,300. It's not a bad guy to look at center, but I think there's probably some other options out there I would prefer, like Chris Bosh at 8,000, who's putting up 42 points across his last three. He's been playing really, really well. The Suns do restrict opposition power forward somehow, even though we're talking John Lua and Mirza Teletovic as the defenders. Bosh is still a pretty decent play. PJ Tucker at 4,400. Look, he's been playing okay, but I don't think that he's a tournament play. That's probably about it for him. And Dwayne Wade at 7,300, you bank him in to get you 30 points, but that's not quite enough at 7,300 for me, although the matchup is fairly tasty. But if what Spoelstra does, what I think he might do, and that's say, let's give it to Goran a little bit in this one, Wade's usage might drop a little bit, so there could be something in that. So just use Wade with caution, I think, is what I'm trying to get at there. Also, don't forget, Ronnie Price is a starter now. The centers in Phoenix, Alex Len and Tyson Chandler, they're just not trustworthy at all. The Golden State Warriors travel to the Portland Trail Blazers. The Warriors are favored by 10. The total is 213.5 points. Steph Curry looks like he is going to play. He's probable with his shin issue. And Festus Ezeli looks like he won't play. He's missed about the last 5 or 6 games with that toe issue. Andrew Bogut looks appealing on the surface with no Festus Ezeli, but Maurice Spates and Jason Thompson are filling that role, so I don't like using Bogut here. I don't like using any of the Portland big men. To be honest, like Ed Davis, Myers Leonard, don't want to use them. I could see using Mason Plumlee at 5,200. He had a big game in the last one. All he needs to give is 25 points, and he can do that against a Warriors team that does allow some decent fantasy points to opposition big men. Damian Lillard at 8,900. Not against the Warriors. CJ McCollum, he'll hopefully play this one. He'll be written down on the team sheet correctly. He's at 8,200. I don't want to use that. But I do like using Klay Thompson, who'll be going up against CJ. He's at 7,800. He's $400 less. He's averaging more than him across the last 3 games. McCollum's taken a bit of a hit with Lillard back, so I do like using Thompson here. Steph at 10,500, way too expensive for a guy that we don't know how much we're going to get out of him with his sore shin. 9,700 for Draymond, that's expensive. Yes, he is averaging 52.7 in his last 3, and that's including a 30-point game in the last one. You can use him, definitely. I probably won't be, but you could see him going for 50 again, definitely. Not much else in this one. I think Alan Crabb at 4,600, he's too overpriced for what he gives you, even though he is getting 30 minutes a night. The last game of the night is the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Lakers, and you would think that everything lines up to the Thunder. They're going to smash the Lakers. Yeah, big numbers for KD and Russ, but these guys played, the last couple of times they've played, Westbrook and KD have played like 27 minutes, and Ibaka's gone for 24 minutes, and they don't play enough to really have enough fantasy value, so I don't want to use KD. I don't want to use Russ. Who I am interested in is Cameron Payne. We know that point guards go big against the Lakers. If Westbrook gets reduced to 27 minutes, could we see 22 out of campaign? And at 22 minutes, could he put up 24 fantasy points? It's not crazy. He's already had a 26-point game in his last 5. He's already averaging 17.5 in his last 3 at 19 minutes. Give him 23 minutes, maybe he goes for 24 against the Lakers. I'm just saying, if you've got some big names in there and you want to throw a curveball, low-price guy in there, he's someone to look for. I think Deion Waiters gets extra run at $4,000 here. He's maybe, but probably not. And Enes Kanter at 4,800. His production has been down the last 3, but Lakers, big men, extra run potentially. He's worth consideration. The other guy who's potentially worth looking at is Andre Robertson. He might see a little bit of extra run, 4 or 5 minutes, but his production is so limited that I'll probably leave him alone. I like D'Angelo Russell here at 5,000, assuming his ankle's fine. We need to find out about that. But if he's out, then Jordan Clarkson gets a bump in my mind at 6,100. We know that the Thunder point guards do allow fantasy points to opposition, so Clarkson could have a decent game here. Kobe's still a little bit overpriced to me at 6,900. Brandon Bass at 3,700. Look, 37 points today. He's averaging 22 across the last 5, and at 3,700, that's enough. You can definitely throw him in to fill out a lineup with some other big price guys in there. Ibaka, I mentioned him before with Westbrook and Durant. I'm avoiding him just because he could play. I think he played 24 the last time these two teams met. Larry Nance was really limited in the last game against the Kings, but at 4,300, he's got some tournament appeal, but Julius Randle does not. That is it for the games. What I'm going to do now, guys, is bring up the DFS value plays of the day. Point guard, Mario Chalmers, 4,900. Goran Dragic, 5,600. And I've got RG there, and that's our revenge game. Tyreek Evans, 7,600. At shooting guard, Devin Booker, 3,900. Victor Oladipo, 6,000. And I don't like any of the high-priced shooting guards on Friday's slate. At small forward, Matt Barnes, 49. Chris Middleton, 69. And Paul George, 8,800. Power forwards, Mirza Teletovic at 4,200. Thad Young at 7,100 and Anthony Davis at 10,400. And the centers, big Yusuf Nurkic, 4,300. Marc Gasol, 7,500, who could play 45 minutes in this one. And Brook Lopez at 8,700. A lot of white guys at center there. All right, we are done, guys. Follow me on Twitter at @RedRock_BBall. Basketball Monsters Twitter account, which is fantastic for you guys to use during the day leading up to tip off to see all the news that's happening, is Basque Monster. Make sure you're following that Twitter account as well and telling all your friends to go and follow myself and Basketball Monster. check out the website basketballmonster.com2 and hardwoodparoxysm.com. Did I mention my Twitter? I think I did. I'll say it again. Redrock_bball. We are done here, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.